Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and for the uttermost part of the world. And so far, we've seen the gospel in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then last week, Paul and Barnabas took the gospel into Asia Minor. So it's moving out. And today in chapter 16, we'll learn about the first convert to Christianity in Europe. So the gospel's going. And then got over here to the United States of America. Look at Acts 16, 11 through 15, and see what God is going to do in introducing the gospel into Europe. And let's read 11 through 15. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple cloth, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So we're talking about the conversion of Lydia, a convert. And that's a word that's well known in Scripture, and it's known in our language in electricity, a converter, I think, changes the current from one to another. If there's to be a convert, there must be a converter. And so in Christianity, we are converts, and God is the converter. And this is what he had done for Lydia. So Lydia becomes a convert. And this idea of conversion means change. We have been changed into believers in Christ. Now let's get the setting here in Philippi. Paul and his company, probably Luke, who's writing, that's why he says us, and Silas, and probably Timothy are there. They arrive in Philippi. And they go outside the city gate down by the riverside, and there at a certain spot, some women are assembled in a prayer meeting. And Paul and Silas probably join them, which is unusual, but it's happening, and they began teaching the gospel. And at that prayer meeting is a lady named Lydia, and it says she is from Thyatira, and she is there to sell purple cloth. She is also a worshiper of God. And then there's a very interesting statement we could skip over there in verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And that just struck me as being very important. A lot of people go to meetings or they come to church, but they're not listening. Are you listening this morning to the Word of God? Does the Word of God have your attention? Is your heart in it? And are you giving your very best attention to the spiritual truth here? She was listening. Now, as this God is going to save her, that's his intention. She is one of his chosen, but just a whole lot of providential circumstances have to take place. Paul has to meet her at Philippi. How does God arrange it? So she is from Thyatira, which is not a great distance from Philippi, but it took some journeying, and Paul is forbidden to go there. Let's read verses 6 through 10 of Acts 16 and see how the Holy Spirit is directing Paul to get to Philippi to meet Lydia, whom God is going to save. Verse 6. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. That's where Thyatira is. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they got in the ship and they traveled to Samothrace, to Neapolis, and finally to Philippi, and they're staying there for some days. And so Paul is in Philippi, Lydia is in Philippi. God has to direct it. God has to orchestrate all this thing to get Paul and Lydia at the same time together down by the riverside at that meeting. So this is not anything to do with chance or luck. It has to do with God's predetermining plan, pulling everything together to get these people together at the riverside. It's not some little whim that Paul said, "Well, maybe we ought to go to Philippi." Nothing like that. The Holy Spirit directed them not to go to Asia, but to wind up in Philippi. And this teaches us how God saves his elect. He pulls it together. He puts people together, and he puts us in certain places. And so Paul must be there, and he's on this ship, and he must get down to the river, and Lydia must be present, and God put them together. Now, God's providence is working everything together for the salvation of his elect. And not one of his elect will fail to be saved, because God is going to bring about the right and perfect providential circumstance to see that that takes place. And so here is a marvelous passage of scripture that teaches us how God leads. God will not allow one of his elect to meet the predestined moment. He will do that. And God is in control of salvation. In one of the strangest prayer meetings recorded in the Bible, we have Jonah in the belly of the fish. And we don't know exactly what kind of fish, whether it's whale or what. But anyway, we know there are plenty of fish that are big enough to house Jonah and probably his whole family. But Jonah's, and in the belly of the fish, he starts to pray. And in praying, he makes this statement: "Salvation is of the Lord." And we say amen to Jonah, and that's what we learn scripturally. God is in control of salvation. So we see the providential circumstances, and now we'll see the grace of God at work in the heart of Lydia. And in the explanation of who she is, the Bible says she is a worshiper of God. That is, she knew something of the Lord. She had heard. she's probably a Jewess, and these other Jewish ladies are meeting in this prayer meeting, and she has a heart to join them. So God is already doing something in her heart to make her think of eternal things, to make her think of himself. And so she knew something of the Word of God, and she is a worshiper of God. And yet the vital thing is missing. What is it? She did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not know the gospel of the grace of God. But God was getting her ready. And when the precise moment came, as Paul was teaching the gospel, we read that God opened her heart, and she believed and responded. Now, this teaches us the doctrine of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit to open the heart, also the doctrine of election. So there are several people here at this prayer meeting. The only one on record whose heart was open was Lydia. What about the rest of them? We don't know exactly because it doesn't say. But it only says that God saved Lydia. He only opened her heart. Now, why Lydia and not the others? Is it because Lydia in and of herself was better than the rest of them? Was she morally better? Did she have more upstairs? Was she smarter and was she wiser than the rest of them to make a decision to decide for Christ? No, not at all. She did not open her own heart. She could not because it was closed. And only the Lord can open the heart so that we believe the gospel. Her prayers did not open her heart. The preaching of Paul did not open her heart. God alone did it. And nothing short of divine power can convert a sinner and bring them to faith in Christ. Faith is the gift of God. And God at that moment, in opening her heart, was giving her the faith to believe and respond. So God does it. And we see the providential circumstances at work, the grace of God at work here in the heart of Lydia. But God uses means. God uses human beings. And God has ways that he uses to save his elect. Now, what are some of the means? Well, Lydia went to a prayer meeting. And so if we have an interest of God and anything is going on in our heart, let's make use of the means that God makes available. Not only for us personally, but to bring friends and neighbors and loved ones to whom we want to witness, bring them into the right environment and bring them to prayer meetings and Bible studies and church services so that they're present with the means that God uses. God used that prayer meeting and she heard the message. And whether we like it or not, God uses preaching. And whether you like it or not, preaching is here to stay because that's God's method and that's what God uses. And he used the witness of Paul. Lydia could not open her own heart, and Paul's preaching could not open her own heart, and yet God used it. And God will use our witness. I love this passage and the way it's phrased. Lydia was there and listening, and the Lord opened her heart to believe the gospel message. Now, let's just review the condition of the human heart, which makes it necessary for God to do this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, which is probably the most basic, clearest, direct, single passage in all of Scripture that defines the condition of the human heart, which defines the condition of every person in unbelief, as Paul reminds these Ephesian Christians of who they were and their condition. And he writes to them, chapter 2, verse 1, and says, "And you," that is, you believers, "were dead in your trespasses and sins." So that's the basic thing we need to know about every unbeliever. They are spiritually dead. Physically alive, yes, but dead to the things of God. They hate God, and they love their sin, and they are spiritually dead. That's why the human heart can't be opened by human beings. It takes spiritual power. Verse 2, "in which you formerly lived according to the course of this world." So here are two things. You're dead in sin, and the world has your heart. You're living according to the course of the world. Everything that the world does, you want to do. You take on every fad and fancy and moral course of this world. Thirdly, according to the prince of the power of the air, satanic power grips the heart. The spirit of that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Under the condemnation and wrath of God, living in spiritual death. But God was preparing our heart and made the prayer meeting of interest, the Word of God as interest. And so as she is there, the truth entered her open heart. Her desires were awakened. Her understanding came, and she was given the faith to believe. And Lydia becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart is set free. Her will is set free. Her spirit is made alive, and she responded. Lydia is a convert. She's a new creation. Now, just imagine what is happening in the heart of this lady. She's probably on some business trip of some kind to sell the purple cloth, which is a very precious thing and an expensive item. And yet she has some spiritual interest, and she goes to this prayer meeting, probably not thinking that morning when she got up that there would be the most remarkable thing that could ever happen in the life of a person. And she's sitting there, and she hears the message, and she opens her heart, and she now sees and believes and knows God, experiences the transforming power of God, the conversion. What a day in the life of that lady. Praise God for what he did for Lydia. She believed. Now, after she believed, it says that she was baptized. She and her household. So somehow she had contacted her household. And what that meant, we really don't know. Whether her husband was in the city, or her children, or her servants, or whatever. But she had a household of people with her, and somehow she probably communicated to them what had happened to her. And God also opened their hearts, and they were baptized. Now that's a thing that we discover throughout the book of Acts. the people hear the word of God, they believe the word of God, and they are baptized. And that is a testimony of faith that is good for every believer. Doesn't get you to heaven. You can go to heaven without being baptized. But it is a present testimony to say that God has converted me, and I am dead to this old life, and I'm alive to the new life. And every Christian should consider being baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says, she became a gracious hostess. And she said, if you found me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home. And let's have fellowship in the Lord. Let's have some meals together. And let's talk about the things of the Lord and be together. And the Bible says she prevailed upon them. That is, it wasn't just a mild invitation, but she is really serious. I really want you to come. And I really want you to stay. And she prevailed upon them. And so here we have a great passage of Scripture about how God saves his elect and how God made an introduction of the gospel into Europe through this lady, Lydia, whom he saved. God will save his elect. Not one will be lost. And he will bring about the providential circumstances, and the grace of God will work to open the hearts of all those who disbelieve. I may have told you this before, but I'll tell you again, that when Jimmy Swaggart was found in immorality, and a certain part of the church were asking him to get off television and not preach, on Channel 43, the charismatic Pentecostal channel, Paul Crouch, the owner, was interviewing another man. And Paul Crouch was lamenting the fact that if Jimmy Swaggart is not on television preaching the gospel, there will be thousands of people who will be going to hell and never be saved because he is not preaching. That is pure heresy. God will save every one of his elect, and he knows whom he will use. Now we have to think about that personally. What about the way God saved us? The providential circumstances and the grace of God at work in our heart. He has brought that about. He may have put you in a family where the gospel was made known, and you had the privilege of hearing the gospel and have God open your heart. He may have brought certain friends into your life that may have invited you to a prayer meeting and put you in a place where you could hear the gospel. He may have brought some troubles and some disappointments into your life that made you think about the reality of life. Suffering has a way of bringing us to reality. He could use many, many ways, but nevertheless, every one of us are as Lydia. God brought it about, put us in the way of the gospel, and opened our heart to believe. What should that do for us? Bring such praise and appreciation. Appreciation that grips our life and makes the thankfulness a way of life for us and causes us to say, Lord, here I am. Thank you. I am now your servant. I serve you and you alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I couldn't thank you enough this morning for this great passage of Scripture. I thank you that you are in charge of the gospel. We get to read about how you're sending it to all the world. And thank you for this special circumstance about Lydia and how you brought Paul and Lydia together and how you used Paul in the prayer meeting, the gospel message, to open her heart and convert her into Christianity and to cause her to love you and believe you. Now, we thank you that you've also done that for us, and that your providential circumstances and your grace is working today in the hearts of people. And we thank you that you will save every one of your chosen people. Not one will be lost. Not one will miss heaven. And we would pray, Lord, that we would be available to you to invite and to encourage and to bring people into the means that you use so they would be exposed to the truth. And we will see you opening their hearts. So with grateful hearts today, we thank you, and we pray that you will use us for your glory. For Jesus' sake, we pray.